Trouble According to Humphrey. Chapter 6, The Difficulty with Art. On Friday, Mrs. Brisbane added up the points everyone had earned in their jobs during the first week. On the whole, my friends did well. Miranda had made up some of the points she'd lost. Heidi and Mandy lost a few points because they were over-enthusiastic about their jobs. In fact, several people weren't speaking to Mandy for handing out so many messy table notices. Especially Tabitha, since all she had on her workspace was a pile of sharpened pencils which Heidi had put there. "It's not fair. I was only doing my job," Mandy complained. "A little too well," said Mrs. Brisbane in her grumpy voice. AJ got full points for handing out papers. Tabitha collected homework every single morning. And Richie kept the plants watered, though there was an unfortunate puddle on the floor one day when he overwatered the plants. "That plant needs a nappy," Kirk joked. Richie cleaned up the water right away and didn't lose any points. Near the end of the day, Mrs. Brisbane made job assignments for the next week. Seth would take care of Og and me. Heidi would erase the board while Gail would be the energy monitor. I could tell that Say was glad to be named Mrs. Brisbane's assistant and Miranda was our new table inspector. No matter what her job was, she was always thinking about me. I heard her tell Seth, "Please be careful to check Humphrey's lock." Mandy grumbled when she was assigned to water the plants, but I don't think anyone heard except Og and me. When class was over, Mrs. Patel arrived to pick up Art and me. She's one of our classroom assistants and lends a hand whenever our class needs extra help or cupcakes. Yum yum. "I was thinking of not letting Art take Humphrey home until after our big math test next week," Mrs. Brisbane told her. "Then I had an idea. Paul Fletcher's been coming into our room for maths every day because he's so far ahead of his class." "Paul, he lives right across the street," said Mrs. Patel. "I know, and I was thinking that maybe if the boys studied for the test together, it might help Art." "That's a great idea," Mrs. Patel answered. "Paul hasn't been over for a long time. He and Art used to play together all the time." "Mum, he's a whole year younger than me," Art protested. "I don't play with little kids." "He's 7 months younger than you. You used to like him a lot." Art stood there looking miserable. "When I was a kid." "Art, you have to do something to improve your math skills," said Mrs. Brisbane. "I can recommend a tutor if you like." "Absolutely, let's get Art some help. He's a clever boy, you know." Mrs. Patel messed up Art's hair and he made a face. "I know," said Mrs. Brisbane. "He's a nice boy too." "You know what? I think we should invite Paul over," said Mrs. Patel. "Bet he'd like to get to know Humphrey too." "Yes, yes, yes," I squeaked. I wasn't exactly sure if Paul wanted to get to know me, but I certainly wanted to get to know him better. And maybe, just maybe, Mrs. Brisbane had a very good plan. I like plans a lot. We had to climb up many, many steps to get to Art's front door. Mrs. Patel wasn't much bigger than Art, so they took one end of my cage and carried me up that way. They had trouble keeping my cage level, which meant I was sliding around like those ice skaters on Dobbs Pond, except I'll bet they were more graceful than I was. I tried to grab onto something, my ladder, my wheel, the edge of my cage, but as soon as I reached out, the cage would tilt and I'd slide in the opposite direction. "Hang on, Humphrey." "We're almost there," said Art. I was too weak to squeak. Somehow, we got into the house where I was put down on a table, more like banged down on a table, and Mrs. Patel took the blanket off my cage. "Sorry, Humphrey, we did our best." She turned to Art. "Why don't you straighten his cage out?" Art bent down and laughed. "Looks like a tornado hit it." Mrs. Patel peered in at me with sympathetic eyes. She reminded me of Ms. Mack for a second. "Are you okay, Humphrey?" She opened the cage door and gently took me out. This was a woman who knew how to handle hamsters. She stroked me gently with one finger while Art straightened out my bedding and put everything back where it belonged. "I think I'll have to find a special treat for our guest," said Art's mum. "Then we'll call Paul." Art leaned down and glumly stared at me. "Humphrey, I had a big surprise for you. We were going to have a lot of fun. Now I have to sit around and do maths with know-it-all Paul." "Who?" I squeaked. "That's what some of the kids in the playground call him. Once, I think they made him cry I suppose you can't help being clever, but I wish you wouldn't ruin my weekend. Mrs. Patel came back in with a big juicy strawberry for me. I called Paul's mum and she said he'd love to come over tomorrow. Art acted as if he'd just lost his best friend. He seemed so unhappy. I couldn't even eat my strawberry. I hid it in my shavings and saved it for later. In the evening, Mr. Patel came home from work. He was a kind man in a grey suit and he said I was a handsome gerbil. Art was paying attention for once and he told his father that I am a hamster. Mr. Patel nodded and said, a handsome hamster. Do you know how to take proper care of him? Art showed him the guide that goes with my cage whenever I go home with students on weekends. Within minutes, Mr. Patel was reading the booklet from cover to cover. Very interesting, he said. A few minutes and several pages later, he added, we must plan some stimulating activities for Humphrey. Stimulating activities, I like the sound of it. I jumped on my wheel and started spinning like crazy. He's certainly active for a nocturnal creature, Art's dad commented. Can I take him to my room? I don't think you should move that cage around too much. I'll hold him. Art opened the door to my cage. And you won't let him get away. I understand hamsters are quick and crafty creatures. Art's dad was a pretty clever guy. I promise. Art picked me up and held me with both hands, gently but firmly. Come on, Humphrey. Wait till I show you my surprise, said Art, heading down a long hallway. In some ways, Art's room was like most rooms I've seen. A bedroom is basically a square box with windows and a bed. Sometimes there's a desk or a dresser. Art's room had all those things. In another way, his room was unlike any room I ever imagined, because just about every single inch was covered with tracks and bridges and houses and trains. Not big trains, but very small trains. There were open wagon and passenger carriages and carriages I don't even know about because I'd only seen the trains in pictures. There was a big circle of track in the middle of the room with a bridge going across it. In the centre of the circle was a town with houses and trees. On the edge of the town, there was a red and white tent and a big wheel. What do you think, Humphrey? Art asked me as he cupped me in his hands and let me look around. It's unsqueakably sensation. See that lake? Art pointed to a pool of actual water near the big wheel. That's Lake Patel. Brilliant, I shouted. Ever since I got the train set for my birthday, it's all I can think about. I'm going to have a town and an amusement park. See, there's a Ferris wheel and I'm going to put in a roller coaster and maybe a zoo. Isn't it great? Great, 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 I squealed. It was great. But now I knew why Art wasn't paying attention in class and why he was doodling all the time. This was what he was thinking about. I could see why. This world he'd created was fun with a capital F. Maybe this fun was also causing Art to fail, which didn't seem fair because you should be able to have fun without failing. Paul wasn't failing, but he didn't act like he was having a lot of fun either. This was all very confusing for a small hamster. But when a human has a problem, I always try my best to help, especially if that human is a friend. Later that night, I was back in my cage and Art was back in his room, probably working on his train layout. I was spinning on my wheel when I heard Art's parents talking. We have to do something. His marks are falling every day, Art's mum said. Art's dad thought for a while and replied, I don't understand it. He's always been a bright boy. What does his teacher say? She suggested a tutor. I think it's a good idea, even though I'm not sure all the tutors in the world could make Art pay attention in class. It's that train, Art's dad said firmly. I think we'll have to take it away from him. Once he started with that, his marks went down. I stopped spinning. It made me sad, sad, sad to think of Art losing the train set he loved so much. Art's mum sighed. I hate to. But we may have to. The Patels sat in silence for a while. Then Art's mum said, Paul Fletcher's coming over tomorrow. Mrs. Brisbane suggested he might help Art with his maths. Paul, isn't he a year below Art? Sure is. I think he's a maths whiz. He comes into Art's class for maths every day. Hope it helps, said Art's dad. Those two were best friends when they were little. What happened? I don't know. Art seems to think Paul's too young for him to play with, but he's only 7 months younger. Patels both chuckled about that. Soon they went to bed and the house was quiet. I had all night to think of a plan. Somehow I had to put two and two together to get Art back on track with his maths and with his old friend Paul. "Look who's here," Mrs. Patel announced the next afternoon when the doorbell rang. Paul stood in the doorway, holding his maths book. "Come on, Art." Mrs. Patel took Paul's coat and hung it in the hall cupboard, while she asked him how he was, how his parents were, and how school was going. Finally, Art came into the room. He wasn't smiling. "Hi, Paul. Hi, Art." They stared at each other for a second. "Come say hi to our house guest," said Mrs. Patel, leading the boys towards my cage. I jumped up on my ladder and squeaked, "Hi, hi, hi." "It's Humphrey," said Paul. He was almost smiling, I think. "That's right. I think you know him from coming into room 26 for maths, Mrs. Patel." "And speaking of maths, why don't you boys settle in the kitchen to study? I'll make some hot chocolate." Neither of them moved. "Art," said Mrs. Patel, "take Paul to the kitchen." Art grudgingly led Paul to the kitchen and out of my sight. I could hear Art's mum say, "Here's your hot chocolate, guys. Now you know how to study together." "I thought we could work out a few problems together," Paul said. Art didn't answer. I heard papers shuffling. I heard Paul mumbling and Art mumbling. But it was pretty clear there wasn't all that much happening in the kitchen. Mr. and Mrs. Patel were down in the basement. I heard her say something about organising the boxes. I could hear occasional sounds from the kitchen. Once, when Paul made a suggestion to Art, I heard a piece of paper being crumbled up. "I don't get it. I'm not like you. Some kind of genius." Paul quietly said he wasn't a genius. He just liked maths. "I hate numbers. They're just squiggles on paper. They don't mean anything," Art burst out. Then things were very, very, very quiet. I had my plan, but it was risky. The last time I left my cage, I'd caused some big trouble, especially for my friend Miranda. Still, I felt I had to take a chance in order to help Art. After all, he was my friend too. So I opened my good old lock that doesn't lock, grabbed onto the table leg, and slid down to the nice soft carpeting. Quite quickly darted under the table to make sure that no one was around. I could hear the boys in the kitchen, and I unheard Art's parents since they went down into the basement. Took a huge breath and scampered across the living room, turned left at the hallway, ran straight back into Art's room. Thank goodness the door was open or my plan would have ended right there. The maze of train tracks looked much different from a hamster's point of view. There were many tracks going this way and that, and a string of colourful carriages attached to a big shiny engine. My plan was a simple one, as most good plans are. I thought the boys would eventually realise that I'd got out of my cage. They'd search for me and end up in Art's room. When Paul saw Art's amazing train layout, they'd start working on it together and remember how much they liked being friends a few years ago. Art would be willing to let Paul help him with maths and his marks would go up. We'd all live happily ever after. Except Miranda, of course. I was still feeling guilty about getting her into trouble. Maybe it wasn't such a simple plan after all. It was taking the boys a long time to discover I was missing. I realised it could take them hours, or possibly they'd never noticed that I was missing at all. I yearned for my comfy cage that offered so many fun things to do, like spinning on my wheel, climbing my tree branch, swinging from my ladder, or dozing in my sleeping hut. I was feeling sleepy right then, and I saw a bed that was exactly my size. It wasn't really a bed, just an open wagon on the train. I scurried over to it and was easily able to pull myself up the side and settle down inside. Yes, it fitted me perfectly. And what a thrill it was for me to be sitting in a train for the first time in my life. Ahead of me was a tank wagon made of gleaming metal. Ahead of that was a passenger carriage with tiny plastic people looking out of the windows. And in front was the powerful engine with a whistle on top. I was too excited to take a nap. Instead, I stretched my paws and, as I did, I hit some kind of switch or lever. I didn't have time to see what it was because when I touched it, the train lurched forward and began to move around the track. Once I realised I was going on a train trip, I decided to sit back and enjoy it. I loved the way the train's wheels went clickety-clack on the track and the way it travelled in a wide curve past the general store and the tall pine trees. The train picked up speed and I could feel the breeze in my fur. Everything went dark, completely dark for a long time. Well, at least it seemed long. A tunnel. I hadn't seen that coming. When I came up out the other end, the train veered left and began to climb up, up, up. I could see straight down on the roof of the general store, the tops of the tall pine trees that Art was certainly clever to be able to build a bridge. The train stopped climbing and moved across the straight centre of the bridge. The pine trees looked small from what felt like top of the world, but straight ahead, what I saw was trouble. As the train started down the incline on the other side of the bridge, the bright, shiny engine tumbled off the side, pulling the passenger carriage with its tiny people off the edge, and then the shiny metal tank wagon. I was certain I was headed for a huge fall, and as I glanced down, I saw that I was going to land right in the middle of Lake Patel. Humphrey spends weekend with Art. Classroom Pet makes first visit to the Patel House. The Humphreyville Herald.